Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Amen. Don't stop there. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. They're eternal. They're forever. Amen. Man, there's so much in this passage, but I just want to try to walk through a few of these things with you. So we see we are earthen vessels, but then he comes to verse 8 and he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. And that's what I want you to see. We're earthen vessels, and we are fragile. Amen. I know nobody likes to hear that. Like, if you said that about somebody else, they'd probably be offended. Like, he's just kind of fragile. That's an offensive thing. But that's what Paul's saying about himself. Amen. He's saying we're fragile. We're fragile. But check this out. As fragile as we are, at the same time, we're indestructible. That's the paradox. So I in myself, I'm fragile. I'm going to break. I'm going to get crushed. I'm going to be destroyed. But since Christ is in me and working in me, then I can't be destroyed. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. What did he tell him? When he cried out to God about the thorn in the flesh three times, he said, my grace is sufficient Amen. For thee. Amen. And Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities because if I'm weak, then I am made strong in Christ. His strength is made known. So the weaker I get, the more fragile I am, the more of his strength I have. And we know that he went through a lot, right? Shipwrecked, a night and a day in the sea, beaten with rods, stoned, scourged. Like, he went through it a lot on the outside, right? And by the way, he wasn't by himself. We read about the details that happened to him a lot of times. Remember, Luke was with him. Timothy was with him a lot of the time. In the original, early on, it was Barnabas. Later, it was Silas. Like, he went through so much with so many people, and he endured it all. So they were troubled. They were pressured. They were surrounded by trouble, but it could not crush them. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, the Christian is like a vessel tossed upon the waves. The storm is around him, but it is not within him. Amen. Amen. And the storm may be around us. It may be, the waves may be crashing down, but it cannot overwhelm you. You cannot be distressed because he's going to hold you up. Perplexed, this is the idea of being confused, and confusion is real in the Christian life. Have you ever been confused? Some of you are like, listen, every time you preach, I'm pretty confused. But I'm talking about not just that, but just looking at life and situations and going, I don't understand this. I don't understand what's happening in the world. I don't understand what's happening with my family. I don't understand what's happening in my life. I am so confused about things in my life right now. Perplexed, but not in despair. I love this. Spurgeon also said, we may be at our wit's end, but we are not at hope's end. We may be at our wit's end, but we are not at hope's end. I love what the Bible says in Romans about Abraham when it says that Against hope, he hoped. Against hope, he believed God. Listen, against all reasonable hope, he still had hope in God. Amen. And that's the way we have to be. So we can be troubled, but not distressed. We can be perplexed, but not in despair. We can be persecuted. Opposition's going to come, but we are never forsaken.
Amen.
Never forsaken. Trying to think of situations you might be in. Maybe just imagine for a second that you're going soul winning with a friend from church. And maybe you did the gate rattle to make sure there was no, God bless you, make sure that there was no mean dog in the yard and you didn't see one. So you and Brother Dean go into the yard. And as you're making your way to the front door, all of a sudden a pit bull comes around the house and you turn around to see Dean and he's gone. And you're standing in the yard all by yourself, right? I'm not saying that Dean would ever do that to you. I'm just saying Brother Dean would probably do that to you. He's not as fast as he used to be, friends, but he's fast enough to get away from that dog, all right? Listen, I might leave you. Brother Dean might leave you. Your wife or your children or your parents might leave you. But the Lord will never forsake you.
Amen.
Now, I don't think that would happen. I'm picking on Dean. He would probably stand in between you and that dog and defend you. Depends on who it is. If it's me or Mike, we're on our own. Especially after this. Listen, God is never going to forsake you.
Amen.
Persecution may come, but he said, both in the Old and New Testaments, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He's going to be with you. And isn't that encouraging?
Right.
Opposition is going to come. Persecution is going to come. People are going to scoff. They're going to mock. They're going to attack. But even if you don't have a brother or sister standing shoulder to shoulder with you, you are not forsaken.
Amen.
Cast down, but not destroyed. This idea of being cast down, it's kind of a term that goes with the wrestling that they did in the Olympics in those days. I mean, the idea is being thrown down to the ground. This is not just you got knocked down and you got back up again. This is somebody like you're on the mat and you're not getting back up. We could be knocked down, but we'll never be destroyed.
Amen.
We could be cast out, knocked down, kicked in the face, but we're never going to be destroyed because God is with us.
Amen.
Psalm 37:24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
Amen.
We're vessels. And as vessels, we're fragile. But with Christ in us and with us and for us, we are invincible. So when you live this Christian life, struggles are going to come. Real pressure is going to happen. You may be troubled on every side, but you don't have to quit, and you can know that God's going to be with you. He's got your back. He's going to be with you all the way. And then I want you to think about the visibility that he talks about here. After he moves through these contrasts between being troubled on every side but not distressed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, he comes to verse 10. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And I'm going to tell you that part of this thing of living the Christian life and the reality of it, I've got to get my eyes fixed in the right ways. And the first thing I want to do is always look up.
Amen.
My concern first has to be for God. What's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is, good job, love your neighbor as yourself. So we're going to love God, we're going to love others. I've got to get my vision in the right place. He talks a lot here about what's made manifest. When something's made manifest, it's made known. And I want you to get this. Our goal is that Jesus would be made manifest in our physical life. That in the way I live my life, Jesus is going to be made known. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, you and I are probably not facing the kind of peril that the Apostle Paul and his friends faced, right? When he says we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, he literally means that people were trying to kill him everywhere he went. Amen. You guys get that, right? I mean, just everywhere they went, death was always imminent. And I don't know if you could imagine that at all, but just the thought that any day something was going to kill you, like, that would be overwhelming, wouldn't it? Like, if I walk out my door, there might be somebody laying in ambush, trying to catch me, trying to kill me. They're traveling through places that everybody knows, like, this place is a dangerous place to go. Like, I don't even know. There are places that you don't want to be alone at night, aren't there? Little Rock. Okay, there's a, thank you for the help. All right, we're going to take a church bus over to North Little Rock. We're gonna drop you guys off in the middle of a neighborhood and by yourselves, and you're gonna walk yourselves back to the interstate. Anybody want to sign up for that? No, you don't want to sign up for that. No, because you know it's dangerous. And there's some places you can think about in the world, like, I don't really want to be caught going through there because it would be deadly dangerous. Okay, that's the kind of places Paul went through to take the gospel from one place to another. So there were perils from people who wanted to kill him, and they knew who he was. There were also people who didn't know who he was, and his life was in danger. And I'm just telling you that death was always right there at his doorstep. And all the while, his vision is not focused on the danger. His vision isn't focused on the potential death. His vision is focused on Jesus and making him known. So he was looking upward, and he was looking outward. Looking up and looking out. I want everybody else to see Jesus in my life. And if he could do that in the situations he was in, how much easier should it be for us to make Jesus known today? Like, I'm pretty sure most of us can get up in the morning, go about our day, and people aren't going to be waiting to kill us. That we've got liberty, and we've got freedom, and we've got freedom of speech, and we have the ability to live out our lives for Jesus and to speak up for Jesus to make him known. So I got to get my vision outward and upward, and then I need to have my vision inward too. We'll get to it. Look at verse 12. So then death works in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And he's still looking upward. What's the whole point? I'm looking at you. I want good things for you so that God gets the glory. Okay? And then in verse 16 he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So he keeps looking upward and outward and upward and outward. And then he finally, after all that, he looks inward. And he says, our outward man may be perishing. Our bodies may be being consumed. But our inner man is renewed day by day. So let me ask you real quick. Anybody in the room feel like your outer man is being consumed day by day? That's where we say, oh me, instead of amen, right? Oh me. One of the guys I met this week, he was talking about how sore he was. I was like, how old are you, man? He's like, I just turned 41. I'm like, you poor thing. I started giving him a hard time, and he's like, yeah, I'm training for a marathon. I'm like, never mind. If you're running half marathons and marathons, you have every right to be sore, right? Listen, these bodies that we live in, they are being used up. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about that. He said, I was willing to spend and to be spent for you. Our bodies are going to get used up. Why not use them up for the kingdom? Why not use them up for his glory? Why not use them for preaching the gospel and reaching others? And that's what he did, and that's what he was challenging them to do. He's saying, listen, we don't faint. We don't faint because even though our outward man perishes, we're not going to stop. We're not going to quit because even though our outward man is perishing, we are renewed on the inside every single day. We're renewed day by day. When we look inwardly, it is not to pity ourselves. It is not to feel sorry for ourselves. It is not to have any kind of wrong feelings about ourselves. When we look inwardly, it's to remember that he is working in our hearts and minds every day. When we look in, we're looking in to see the work of God in our lives. And aren't you thankful that the Spirit of God is in you?
Amen.
And he works in you? And you have fellowship with him through the Spirit.
Amen.
Living alive doesn't mean you're never going to feel fear. It doesn't mean you're never going to experience anxiety or grow weary or feel sorrow or be cast down. It does mean that as you face those things, it's never going to defeat you. Because living alive means living out the life of Christ that's in you. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so I'm living my life through the trials, through the tribulations, through the trouble, focused on Jesus. He goes on in 2 Corinthians 6:10 and says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And there's a lot of paradoxes that happen in the Christian life. We were studying that the other day in Sunday school, in Matthew, in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, being poor in spirit, that doesn't sound good. But Jesus says it is good. Blessed are you when you're sorrowful. Why? Because he's going to make you glad. We look at him through it all. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Look at this with me. Be careful for nothing. And you guys know what that word careful means?
Anxious.
So what this verse says is don't be anxious about anything. Everybody tracking?
Amen.
Don't be anxious. Anybody ever need to hear that?
Yeah,
don't be anxious. Don't live with anxiety. You're going to feel anxiety, but don't stay there, right?
Amen.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look at what verse 7 says. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Don't be anxious. Anxiety is going to come. What do? Well, you don't stay in it.
Right.
Living the Christian life, the reality of it doesn't mean you're never going to be afraid. It means when you're afraid, trust in God.
Amen.
It doesn't mean anxiety is never going to come. It means when anxiety comes, pray with thanksgiving. Living the Christian life is not perfection. It's not perfection. It's the direction of your heart and mind. So when trials, tribulations, troubles come from within or without, what do? Recognize them. Refuse to be ruled by them. Don't let those things rule in your hearts and minds. And turn to God in faith and prayer. And then just do what he says. Obey him. Living alive is what God's called all of us to do. And it doesn't mean that you're never going to have a moment of sorrow. I don't know. Maybe none of you guys need to hear this tonight, but it really convicted me just thinking about this idea of living alive and picturing what that looks like in my mind and thinking about people I know who I don't know if you've ever known those people, but I've known people in my life. It just seems like the joy of the Lord just drips off of them everywhere they go. Like when I see them, it's like they never get worried about anything. Like everything in their life just goes right. But if you really know those people, you know that's not the reality. Those moments of joy have come after nights of tears. Those moments of courage have come after times of great fear. And so just be encouraged tonight that you can live that way because of Jesus. It's him and not us.
Right.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the time. I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. And I pray that you'll convict our hearts that we can live alive in Jesus Christ, that we would every day reckon ourselves to be indeed, in fact, in truth, alive unto God and dead to sin in our lives. Help us that sin will no longer rule in our lives, but help us through the trials and tribulations and difficulties, the pressures from without, the trials from within, that we can overcome those things by your grace and by your Spirit. Please forgive our sins. Guide us in everything, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.